Hello, everyone. I'm Denise Boggs, and I want to welcome you as we journey together through healing the heart.
We're here today to try to help you understand some things about generational iniquity. And I know I had plenty of questions myself. And my whole journey of searching it out actually started with a conversation I had with my dad. And you can read it in the book about generational iniquity, because at the time, I think I was like 21, and I'm ready to get my business underway. And I met with my dad, and my dad said, "You're going to be just like your grandpa." And he was a good businessman. I said, "Okay, good. Well, tell me about my grandpa's business dealings, and why was he known as a good businessman?" And my dad said, "Oh," he told me the whole story about how my grandpa would sell bushels, I guess they call it, or baskets of apples. And he would buy good apples and put them on the top, and he would get the culls, is what they called it back in the day, that had fallen from the tree. The grower would let you pick those up for just pennies. And so that was being a good businessman. If you sold the whole basket of apples, but you only had your money in the top layer of apples, the good apples, and you just had pennies invested into the lower level. And I'm like, I said to my dad, I said, "Wait a minute, that's deception. He's being deceptive. My grandpa was deceptive." Oh, I rocked the boat at that moment. Nobody had ever said there was anything wrong with the way grandpa did business, even though it was deceptive, but nobody wanted to say it. Okay? I said it. And then I went home that day. And at that time, I was a floral designer. I had my own business. And I would go on the floral truck and buy the half-price flowers and the full-price flowers. And I was mixing them together the same way. I was doing the same thing. Had no idea I was being deceptive, because I had been taught in the floral business, that's what you do. You mix the good with the not so good and you call it good. No, that's deceptive. That began my journey of understanding why something that's sinful is not called sin in the generation before you. So let's see what Scripture says in Nehemiah 9:2. Nehemiah said to the people, "Okay, we're going to spend some time here, y'all. We're going to search it out. I want you to confess your sin and the iniquity of your fathers." Okay, sin and iniquity are not the same thing. Sin comes out of iniquity. In other words, if you have grown up hearing that it's okay to be deceptive, "Oh, you're just being a good businesswoman," then you're not viewing it as sin. You're viewing it as just being a good businesswoman, like I was. Okay? But that was iniquity in the past, that was a sin nature that had been really probably my grandfather's father and grandfather. And it says in Scripture that iniquity is visited to the third and fourth generation, okay? And it's a bend in the sin nature. It's like we're just bent in a certain way and don't even know why, okay? I've heard it said that we're born with a bend, and that's very accurate, because in my generational father line, that was not viewed as sin, okay? But another family down the road, they might be believing a certain behavior like greed is not sinful. Or so in mine, it was lying and deception. But I had to come to my own conviction. No, I'm not going to buy day-old flowers or two-day-old flowers and fresh flowers and mix them together anymore. No more. And so I had to make a choice to stop that behavior. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 24, David even said, I had to keep myself from my iniquity. He knew what was in him. He knew that there was iniquity that was pulling on him, drawing him to do certain things. And he had to say, no, I got to keep myself from it. Okay, so I made a choice to keep myself from it. Just like we all have to make a choice to keep ourselves from what we're drawn to, that we can look back in our generation before us and see the outcome of it, that it was not from God. Okay, let's look again in Scripture. This is what David said in Psalms 32:5. I love this. David said this, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old. My bones waxed old through the roaring on the inside all the day long. And so then he says, because I feel like the roaring all the day long can be that we hold things in and we don't talk about it. We don't even confess it, that it's sin. We're just holding on to it kind of like, is it, is it not? Is it, is it not? I don't know. Do you know that there can be things right now that you or I am struggling with, and we've got to speak it out loud and work through it, okay? And so then this is what it says here in verse 5 then. This is Psalm 32:5. I acknowledged my sin to you, Lord, and I did not hide mine iniquity. Iniquity is generally hidden. You don't see it because it's not called sin. It's renamed in each generation, okay? So he's saying, I do not hide mine iniquity. David said, I will confess all my transgressions unto the Lord. That's where you've crossed over a line. I've crossed over a line, transgressed, crossed over the line. The line God says, and you forgave me the guilt of mine iniquity. You forgave me. So he's saying now, David's saying, once you confess your sin and no longer hide the iniquity where it came from, okay, then you get you get fully free from it. But you can't keep on in a behavior once the Holy Spirit brings conviction to you. If you can say, well, Grandpa did that, it's all right. No, I confess it, Lord, is sin. Deception is sin. I choose to forgive Grandpa for doing it that way. He didn't know. I forgive him. I know now it was iniquity. It was a bend in the sin nature that he just didn't see. But I forgive him. I'm not going to judge him, but I'm not going to continue in it. I'm going to take my freedom that I have been given in Christ, that I am now set free from this sin and the iniquity where it came from. Now, I want to give another scripture, and it's in Psalm 64. And in that scripture, I want to say this, that it's kind of interesting. Verse 6, it says that we've got to search out the iniquities. Search it out. Got to search them out, okay? And because you may have some things where you just keep having a problem that just keeps going over and over. It happens over and over and over. It could be that it's coming from an iniquity, the sin nature. And we know that the sin nature comes through the father bloodline because, why would we say that? Well, there was no iniquity found in Jesus. Jesus was born with a flesh and blood mother, but a holy father, the Holy Spirit of God. But there was no iniquity found in him. We know that from John's gospel. There was no iniquity found in Jesus. No iniquity. And so he had a flesh and blood, mother, and a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, Father. So there was no iniquity in him. And so if we see it that way, we can say, oh, well. And then you go back to Nehemiah 9:2 to confirm that. Nehemiah says, confess your sin and the iniquity of your fathers. Okay? Deuteronomy 5:20, the iniquity of the fathers. The iniquity of the fathers are visited on the third and fourth generation. Again, fathers. So that those scriptures are how is why we would say it comes through the father bloodline. Okay? Now you can learn the ways of your mother. You can see that she does certain things and you just sets a model and you do it the same way. You can learn some things from her that you have to take ownership and say, no, that's not me. I'm not going to do that anymore. But let's go back to the iniquities. You've got to search them out. And this verse is interesting. It says here that they talk of lying snares secretly. Who will destroy us? And they have a well-conceived plan, it says. For the inward thought and the heart of man are deep mysteries and unsearchable. And it says they have to be searched out. Anything that's an evil plan that you don't even know the source of where it's coming from. Here's some iniquities that I have discovered after 25 to 30 years now of ministering to people and helping them break free. I'm going to give you a few examples. One example is if you grew up in a family where the men were always seeing themselves as superior to the women, looking down on the women, you're just here to serve me. Okay, that can be a generational iniquity. Why would that be iniquity? Well, because in Scripture, it's very obvious in Scripture that the husband is the covering, the protector, not the one that has to be served. It says he lays, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and laid himself down so she could live. So husbands are in a role of laying down things that can be hindering them from providing and protecting their wife and their children, okay? So, but if a generational iniquity is there, the mindset of she's here to serve me, then a husband will not be able until he breaks free of that mindset that's generational. He won't be able to serve his wife and his family and lay something down, the golf game, without being resentful. Lay something down in order to serve the family. So women are to serve the men is a generational mindset, but it's a generational iniquity, okay, because it's against the way God has it planned. I had one young man that came to work through some things, and every business deal he entered into, he went broke. Every single business deal. He couldn't figure out why, and his wife's ready to leave him because here's another business deal that goes south. And he said, what could it be? What's wrong with me? I said, well, let's talk about your family. He said, oh, I don't want to talk about my family. I said, why? Well, my dad lost everything. We ended up living in a shack when I grew up. Oh, okay. All right. And then I said, well, what was it like with your grandfather? Oh, he was a gambler. He gambled everything. And before he died, he lost his home. He didn't even have a house to live in. He was a wealthy man, but he gambled it all away. I said, oh, okay. Well, are there any gambling things that you're taking that could be affecting you today? Are you taking risk? Oh, well, yeah, I take risk in every business decision I make. That you don't move ahead if you don't take a risk. Oh, okay. But the problem is here, it is a generational issue that's come from grandfather to father, and now this man is fixing to lose his family because he hasn't seen that he's got to trust God and not always be going according to the iniquity or the bend in his own sin nature of, hey, I'm going to take a risk. I don't care. So that's the iniquity is the mindset. It's the way of thinking that has been passed down, and you're not even aware that there's anything sinful about it. Okay? Now, another one would be a man came, he and his wife were getting a divorce, and he had a drinking problem, obsessive drinking, and she's going to divorce him. And I said, well, let's talk about it. Did you grow up in drinking? No. We grew up on the mission field. Oh, okay. Okay. And I said, well, has there been any drinking excessively in your family? Well, he said, my grandpa, they said he was in and out of the bar, but I don't know if he got drunk. He died early. He died of a liver disease in his 40s, early 40s. Oh, okay. But he did go in and out of the bar a lot. I don't know if he drank a lot, but he did go in and out of the bar a lot. Okay. So the part about it was the excessiveness, okay? Excessiveness was a behavior that was passed down from generation to generation from grandfather. But also, he was in and out of the bar a lot, but he was never at home. So the father, he was missionary, never at home. This man, his wife's fixed to leave him because he's never at home. Excessive drinking. So it can be a behavior as simple as never being at home, and you excuse it because that's how you grew up. But that's how your father grew up. His father was never at home. So it can be excessive behavior in any way that you've got to recognize, oh, I'm doing the same thing my dad did. I'm never at home. Okay? Are you seeing the pattern? I hope you are. Generational iniquity has to be seen as a bend in the sin nature. It's just the sin nature, yeah. And it wasn't called sin then, but now, in the present, the man's never at home. He has a real severe drinking problem and now has other women because when he gets drunk, he gets other women. It's now full-blown sin. But it came out of this behavior of never being home and being excessive. Okay, I hope this helps. God bless you.
If Living Waters has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, you can give on our website, livingwatersministry.com/donate, or text any amount to 84321.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
We have additional resources for you to continue on your journey to healing in our online bookstore. You can click the link in description.
That you sip the bullet points.